God, the God who hides himself, the God who hides himself. Yeah. All that singing. All that singing, amen. The God who hides himself, amen. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you this morning, amen. Had you ever asked yourself these questions? God, where are you? God, show yourself to me. God, do you see me? Where are you in this situation? Or even perhaps, where was God when I needed him the most? These are common questions that we ask when we want God to show up in our lives. But yet, we never see him showing up physically. Amen? This is the nature of God that very people know about or even understand about the personality of God. But today, I want you to understand something about God, that he's a God who hides himself. We read in Hebrews 11, it says faith. Now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things that are seen were not made of the things that do appear. We see creation, but we don't see a creator. Where is he? We see the evidence of a creator. And I'm not talking about evolution, but we see the wonders of creation. The bees, my goodness, unknown animals that you never known about. The other day, I saw a blue lobster. A blue lobster. I never knew there was a blue lobster. And then when I was doing the study in Revelation, I found that there in South America, there's a scorpion fly. A fly that has a scorpion tail on it. I was like, thank goodness that don't live in America. And then I found another scorpion that looks like a spider. And all these, it blows my mind because, you know, I thought I'd seen all the creatures of the world, but I haven't. There's creatures that you don't know. And you're like, where's all this creativity comes from? Where's the creator? But you don't see a creator. You only see the evidence of a creator. Have you ever pondered the verse in Psalms 18 verse 11? It says, he made the darkness his secret place. In other words, he said he made the darkness his hiding place. Now we know God is light. We know that he wraps himself in light. But yet, there's a darkness that he allows like a canopy that hides his glory, that hides his wonders. Notice what it says in Isaiah. It says in Isaiah 45, truly, you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel. This was a statement that Isaiah was stating not out of strife, not out of anger. It wasn't a sarcastic statement saying that wanting God to deliver or to answer, saying, oh yeah, you're always a God who hides himself. He's not saying that. But he notices it's based on a buildup of facts. That he noticed that God is one who hides himself. He studied the word. He noticed by personal experiences. And he's realizing that he's always hiding himself. And maybe you haven't noticed that God has done countless things in your personal life. And you haven't noticed it. Some of us here today, some of us should have been dead by now if it wasn't for God. He didn't show up physically, but he was working in the background. He's always moving. He's always working, but always hidden to the human eye. In fact, it's only when you get saved that you start to realize and start to notice this is how God moves. You see God in the things that you never saw before. You start saying things like, that's God. Because you start to realize that he's working behind the scenes, in the background. Think about it. Ever since creation, besides a few instances in the Old Testament, God's remaining hidden for about 4,000 years. And then he shows up to Earth and only a few people notices it. His parents notice it, of course. But then you got some unknown name shepherds who saw him at birth. And then you got an old woman and an old man who saw him at this baby dedication. And then you got the three wise men who from the east who came to visit him, which most likely he was a toddler at that age. And then he goes into hiding in Egypt. And then a few years later, he comes back. But then he disappears from the pages of the Bible until he's 12 years old. And we read of an account where his parents thought he was with a family caravan heading back. But he was hidden. And they were looking for him. They're like, oh, where is he? I thought he was with you. No, he's with you. No, where is he? We left him. So they had to go all the way back to Jerusalem to find him. And then after that event, he goes hidden from the pages of the Bible until he is about 30 years old. And then he ministers for only 3.5 years. And even when his time with his disciples, he will often withdraw himself from the crowds and from his disciples. And they will often go looking for him, seeing where he's at. You think about the event where he healed this man who was crippled for 38 years. He healed him, and then he disappeared right away. It says in John 5, the man who had been healed did not know who he was, for Jesus withdrew himself. This is how he works. He wants to be unnoticed. He likes to work in the background. You think about after his resurrection, he was taken up into heaven. Where? To be hidden. And it's been almost about 2,000 years we haven't seen Jesus. He's hiding or hidden in heaven. In fact, you think about our Heavenly Father. He hides himself even more to the extreme. The scripture says that no eye or nobody has seen him except Jesus, the Son. It says in 1 John 1, no one has ever seen God, talking about the Father, but only one and the only Son, who himself God and is the closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. You think about the Last Supper, when the disciples couldn't understand this concept still. Some of the last moments before Jesus was on earth, they couldn't understand it. They were asking us, Jesus, just show us the Father and that will be enough. But Jesus said, I have shown you the Father. He's in me and I am in him. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You're like, what? I don't understand it. I still don't understand it. He's hidden. He was hidden before their eyes. And when Jesus came, he didn't come with all this attractiveness. He didn't come in this majesty like most teens often present themselves. It says in Isaiah 53 that he had no form of majesty. He had no form that we should even look upon him. He had no beauty that we should desire him. He probably wasn't like 6'5", athletic, handsome with a jawline. No, he was just a normal guy, unnoticed. I believe it's safe to say the disposition he chooses with mankind is to be hidden in the background where no one can possibly recognize him. Disposition meaning a person inherits quality or of the mind or character. This is what he likes. This is who he is. Now the question becomes, what kind of disposition do we have when it comes to the things of God? Don't be like the Pharisees. Doing whatever they do, they want to be noticed by men, wanting the praises of men. They love to be called rabbi. They love to be recognized in the public spaces. And that wasn't just for the Bible days. That's for us today. You got today pastors who love being called pastor when they're pastoring nobody. My goodness. I mean, there's a church right next to us, and I'm just using this as an example. But I met one of the pastors over there. And I was like, oh, man, you know, I didn't know you're a pastor. And he's like, actually, I'm not a pastor. I'm more like an operation manager. I'm like, why don't you put up a logistics manager or something? But they use the title pastor because they're like, I don't know why. He's not pastoring anybody. You got today, you got senior pastors when they're the only pastor in the church. Who are you senior to? You got churches, got pastors have a title, executive pastor. I'm like, I never even heard of that. You might as well just put CEO pastor. I mean, my goodness. I mean, seriously, they're getting kind of carried away with these titles. And man could get carried away with this whole title thing. And that's why Jesus loved to refer to himself the Son of Man. It's like the least, the most humble title there is relating to us, even though he's God. That's why I have a suspicion of pride when Christians want to become famous, want to become noticed. They got all this American Idol, The Voice, America Got Talent. They're wanting the stage. They want to be noticed, but that's not how God is like. He likes to be hidden, like to be unnoticed in the background. Let's look at the great trial and test to every one of us. Elijah was a man like our nature, the Bible says in the book of James. He was just like one of us. And I believe it says that because sometimes when we see like these prophets or, you know, these saints, amen, we can elevate them up to like in a pedestal. But it says Elijah was just like us. He was just faithful, dedicated. But yet he could not understand or stand this test of working God working in the background. He saw fire come down from heaven. There was crows that fed him for years in the desert. He prayed for the resurrection for the widow's son. He saw God's power displayed on many levels that we never have seen before, even today. But when it comes when God withheld his presence, Elijah couldn't bear it. He feared. He got depressed. He wanted to die alone in a lonely cave. In a sad cave, unknown to anybody about his weariness. And God asked him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he says in 1 Kings 19, he goes, I've been zealous for you, the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenants. They've thrown down your altars. They put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they want to kill me. You see, God understood Elijah had a difficult ministry. And also he understood how Elijah always wanted God to manifest himself all the time. But Elijah hasn't realized that God is a God who hides himself. So God gave him a demonstration. He said, the Lord is about to go stand on the mountain, for the Lord's presence is about to pass before you. So he goes in front of the cave before the mountain, and there arose a great powerful wind that tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. And surely Elijah thought the God is in this one. But the scripture says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. And we know earthquakes are very powerful. And Elijah thought, surely the Lord has to be in this one. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. And surely Elijah thought, oh, this is the one right here because he's a consuming fire. But the Bible says that he was not in the fire. And after the fire came a still, small voice. A gentle secret voice, a quiet voice. You see how God works? He likes to work in the quietness, in the background. And Elijah answered him, again, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one that's going through it, Lord. But God answered, you know what? You're not the only one. You're not the only one that's serving me. In fact, I got 7,000 other people in Israel who have not bowed down to Baal. Elijah, I hide myself. You did not know that I hid 7,000 people in Israel, where they did not have no good king, where they didn't have the temple in the land. But 7,000 worship me. Elijah, I like to hide myself. And Elijah had to retool his theology. He had to think it. He thought he had all to figure out. You know, sometimes we go to outreach, the thought comes upon my mind. You know, we're the only ones laboring. We could get that like that sometimes. We're the only ones going through it. But I know that's a lie. I know when we go to Bible conferences, you see others laboring, doing the same thing that we're doing. We have to realize this nature about God, that he likes to work in the background. You think about the book of Ruth and the book of Esther. Anybody read the book of Ruth before? Anybody read the book of Esther before? I encourage you to read it. They're very short books. But these two books, the book of Ruth and the book of Esther, has something in common. God never speaks in them. There's no prophet in those two books. But yet you see God's hand working in the background. You think about the book of Esther, where the Jewish people were facing a national crisis. They're about to be annihilated. But you see God moving in the background, having his people in the right places, working a work of deliverance in the background. And for you today, God's working a deliverance in the background for you. You can't see him, but he's moving. He's working in the background. You think about the book of Ruth. This is a book of story, a story of two women. One was young, one was old. One was a Gentile, one was a Jewish woman. They both lost their husband. Now they're in a poor condition of life. One needs a husband. And you see the hand of God putting them in the right places in the right time. Where Ruth, being a Gentile, was able to marry into the lineage of Jesus Christ. Think about that. You thought it was only Jews in there. No, a Gentile woman was able to get into the lineage of the birth of Jesus Christ. Became David, King David's great-grandmother. My wife tells me a story one time when they were looking out for jobs when they first came from the Philippines. My wife came in the Philippines in 2006 with her family. They didn't have a car. They didn't know this country. They thought it was the American dream or something. I don't know. But they came over here. The whole family came. And she was telling me they were looking for the jobs. They had to look for a job right away. Amen. And they're over there in Chula Vista. I don't know if you guys been in that area before. But they're looking for jobs. And they asked this man, hey, do you know where they're hiring? He said, yeah, they're hiring at McDonald's. The only problem was they didn't know where McDonald's was. And they come to find out that they're on 3rd Avenue in Chula Vista. And the man told them about the McDonald's that was on East Palomar in Chula Vista. And he was like, yeah, just go straight down Palomar. And then they're walking and walking and walking. And they're not seeing the McDonald's. It was a long walk. It was her and her mother. And then there was this old man who noticed that they were tired, you know, and offered a ride. And I believe it was, they started talking Tagalog. And it was her mom. And I think it was a mom that says, you know, like, I'm tired, you know. But they're like, well, he's old. If he tried to attack us, we could both take him on, you know. But, you know, they're like, they didn't know where how far it was. It was like 5 miles from where they were at. And God was just working in the background. He gave them jobs. It wasn't the job at McDonald's. It was working in hotels. And eventually, God gave them and put them in the church all within a year. And they came to salvation. God put them in the right church. In the right path where I can marry her, you know, because I wanted an Asian and God hurt me. But see, God is working for you, but just in the background. It's not the mindset of God just sitting around in heaven, just waiting for you to become super desperate No, he's very involved in your life. God's work is mostly done in the secrets, often a slight whisper or a slight influence. The more we serve the Lord and stay abiding in him, the more we realize that God is very quiet. It's not that God doesn't like to speak. He does speak, but he's quiet. He spoke to Samuel in the stillness of the night in a quiet voice. Listen, you have to believe that God's guiding you. You have to believe that God has a purpose for you in this church. It often comes with a soft whisper or a thought that comes to you. You know, telling you to pray for somebody. Listen, it's not the devil that's telling you to pray for somebody. It's not your flesh that's telling you to pray for somebody. It's the Holy Spirit. You get this sudden thought. You're like, where was that thought? You know, this random person came out of nowhere and you're thinking about this and suddenly you should pray for that person. That's the Holy Spirit guiding you gently. Do you have a voice saying to you, have peace, don't worry. Rest in that voice because he's working in the background. I like to move thirdly to the point where I called, go hide yourself with God. Go hide yourself with God. We understand that God is a king, amen? And a king has chambers. Sometimes when you read in the Bible, the king often wants to get some rest or get away from the crowd. He goes into his chambers. This is the secret place, the quiet place, hidden from everybody. In fact, only those who have a close love relationship are allowed into his chambers. And you think about the Song of Psalms, the book of the Song of Psalms, or often it's called the Song of Solomon. It's a picture of the bridegroom and the bride, Christ and his church. But in the book, it tells a story of two lovers who are madly in love with each other. And they wait for each other. And they finally are united. But no sooner when they're united, he disappears. And she's wondering where he's at. And where did he go? So she goes after him on the streets looking for him, asking everybody, have you seen my beloved? It says in Songs of Solomon chapter 3, all night long on my bed, I look for the one my heart loves. I look for him, but I did not find him. I will get up now and go about the city, through his streets, through his squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. I look for him, but I did not find him. And then later on, you read that he shows up and appearing, knocking on the door. In chapter 5, he says, my beloved is knocking at the door. He finally shows up. And she gets excited. I opened the door for my beloved, but my beloved has left. The moment she heard him knocking, she got ready and she went to answer the door, but he's not there. He's gone. And my heart sank at the departure. And I looked for him, but I did not find him. I called for him, but he did not answer. It is a good king who's wanting his bride to go after him, to go look for him. If your love is true, you will find me. That's what it's saying. You won't stop searching for me. Can I say God is someone who wants his people to go after him? Isn't that called love? Isn't that called desire? But he leaves it up to us. He leaves it up to you and me to go after him. He shows just enough love to us. He shows just enough mercy, just enough kindness, just enough compassion for us to say, you know what? That's wonderful. But you can't just stay there. It's up to you if you want more, if you want to go after more of his kindness, to go more after more of his love, to go more after more of his peace and righteousness, his strength and power, his beauty. It's up to us to go after him. He wants to see if you are willing to go into his chambers, his secret place, hidden from everybody. The Bible says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, revealing himself to you even the more. Don't be a doubting Thomas. I say that again. Don't be a doubting Thomas. And you know what Thomas said? He said, oh, I won't believe him unless I put my hands where his hands were on the cross, where I put my fingers in the holes where they pierced them, where I put my hands on the side where they pierced them. I won't believe unless I see him. And this is what most people get off to. It's all about sight, not belief. But we walk by faith, not by sight. And then 8 days later, Jesus showed up and says, what's up, Thomas? Put your hands right here, Thomas. Put your hands right here, Thomas. Now, do you believe? He's looking for a faith that cannot be seen. It's not always about seeing. It's about believing without seeing. And he said, blessed are those who have not seen me, but have believed. He's saying to Thomas, you have a disposition like Elijah. You have a disposition like most people of this world out there, where you want God to always show up and show himself. But God loves a position where we can believe and where we cannot see, because he loves to hide himself. We walk by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. There are four areas I like to talk about where you can hide yourself with God. And there are many more. But God talks about the secret place in a couple areas. You know why people don't pray? One of the reasons is because of flesh. But there's another reason. It's because they can't see anything happening when they pray. So they stop. But Jesus said, men ought to pray and faint not. Prayer is one of the areas where you can go hide yourself with him, where nobody sees you. The Bible calls it your prayer closet. You shut yourself away from distraction. You shut yourself away from people and get alone with God. Get alone in his chambers and reveal what's inside your heart. Getting alone in the secret place and the intimacy of Christ. Knowing God that will hear your prayers and hears your prayers. And there's another area the Bible talks about. Fasting. You know why people don't fast? It's because they don't see fasting works. They go, oh, I tried it, but nothing happened. They can try everything else besides fasting. But the Bible talks about for you to go hide yourself in fasting. You add fasting to your prayers. Just don't fast alone and not pray. No, you add fasting to your prayers. Go to the Lord. Hide yourself. You know, you could go about your day and people are like, you know, just looking like a normal person. But then you could go about your day and be like, oh my gosh, I have an A all day. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's like, don't be like that. You know, just act normal, you know? Hide yourself, and I see you in the hiding. Another area is giving. You know why Christians don't give? It's because they don't see the reward of giving. They don't see prayer working. They don't see fasting working. They don't see how giving, you see the pattern? They don't see. It's all about seeing. They want to see the result of it. Oh, they can see their stock rising up. And they're like, oh yeah, I got a good reward coming. They can see their 401k building up. But they don't see how giving works. And Jesus, they don't see how giving works. That Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And they're like, well, I've been giving. I haven't been receiving. Well, just wait. It will come one day, amen? Especially on the day of judgment for believers, amen? Another area where we can hide ourselves is in the area of laboring. The Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. And this is not just speaking about laboring, but also here in church. But when we go out on outreach, you know, we don't see Jesus showing up physically. He's hiding in the background with us. Co-partnership, moving around where we're outreaching, where we're reaching out for people. You know, he hides himself so effectively that most people are unconscious of his activity. He creates situations. He gives us directions. You know, I pray every week, amen. Lord, lead us where you want us to outreach. I don't literally hear a voice from heaven, go over here. I don't hear that voice. I just trust God that he's leading me, leading his people to the right places and bringing the right people to the right place where we're at the right time. Sometimes people get saved. Praise the Lord. Sometimes they mock God, like last week, amen. Praise the Lord, we're in the right place. Because he's moving. He's trying to get to the hard heart. The soft hearts. He's trying to get to all the hearts. But he's moving in the background. Hidden. With us. And God hiding his work in your life. Trust me, one day it will be apparent. To everyone. I'm not talking about being like this super, you know, ninja Christian out there. You know, there's a balance to this. Amen. We ought to be, you know, bold in our faith, amen. Not, I never talk about Jesus. No, that's not what I'm saying here. But I'm saying there's areas in our life where God wants you just to be hidden in Christ with him. You think about, amen, the cross, amen, it's shaped like a T. And there's this, I don't know how the medical term about it, but there's like this, I guess you call it like a cell. Let me just use cell for example. But there's like this little organism in our bodies, amen, that holds all things together, holds everything together. And they're like analyzing this, and they notice that it has a certain shape to it, and the shape of a T. And then you read scripture, and he said, Christ holds all things together. And it just baffled my mind. I'm like making the correlation. God, there you are. There's your fingerprints holding everything together in our bodies. How were they able to see that? You only can see it through a microscope. Hidden. His fingerprints in our lives. Our DNA. In our lives, he framed us in the secret place. That's how God works. He's hiding in the background, but he's always moving. He's very active, but he likes to work in the background. And you have to believe God's working in your life, even when it doesn't seem like nothing's working. Look at the book of Ruth when things look hopeless. Read Esther. When things were a crisis, God work a deliverance. He helps his people, but only in the background. Amen? Amen? Let's give God praise for his word. Amen. God, we thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. Amen.